Stay tuned now for adventure and excitement in the world of the future. It's entertainment for the entire family produced right here in Kalamazoo.
There is no margin of safety along the rim of a frontier. There can't be any until a way is made for those who come later. Until then, the penalty for mistakes is a grim one. The laws of physical nature operate with irrevocable uncertainty, leaving no room for mercy, kindness, or sentimentality. In space, life becomes a cold equation, and the equal sign is often followed by death.
Join us now for a voyage into another dimension. A journey into a realm as infinite and limitless as time itself. Our destination, the farthest reaches of the imagination. WMUK Special Projects presents Future Tense.
Now we go forward in time to the year 4185, when giant spacecraft cruise the galaxies. Our setting, the galactic cruiser Stardust. Our story, Cold Equations, by Tom Godwin.
You sent for me, Commander?
Sit down, Barton.
There's something wrong.
We just got an emergency distress call from the Territorial Space Station on Woden. You'll have to help.
Oh, Woden, that's in the Crab Nebula, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. There are two exploration parties there on Manning's continent. 8 men each.
Uh-huh.
They've got calla fever on one of them and no serum.
Uh-oh. And I thought this was going to be a nice, quiet passenger ride.
Computers are working out your payload and your course right now. In exactly 10 minutes, we'll launch your distress ship from our port side.
Okay, I'll get her ready.
One thing.
Oh, what's that?
Woden is at the maximum pay limit for an emergency distress ship. Figuring the weight of the serum, we'll be able to give you just enough fuel to land on Manning's continent. If you make it on the first pass. Otherwise, you will burn out in midair.
Uh-huh. Standard procedure.
Report to launching control.
All right.
Good luck, Barton.
Oh, thanks. By the way...
Yes?
When can I expect to be picked up?
We'll make a stop for you on the run back to Earth sometime next year. You'll be notified by radio.
Okay.
Sorry, we can't make it soon.
Well, that's what happens when you sign on for EDS work. I'll see you next year, Commander. Down in the hull of the Stardust, the crew was working frantically to get the EDS, the emergency distress ship, ready. Mechanics and technicians were swarming all over the place. Girls in inspector's uniforms were checking the gauges in the supply cabinet, and 9 minutes later, the exact course was in the computer. The serum was stowed in my supply cabinet, and little EDS 4G3 was ready to be borne into space. I don't remember how long it was afterwards, but I first noticed something wrong. Maybe an hour, maybe two. There was nothing to show it except the needle on the heat gauge. It was on zero when we left the Stardust, and now I noticed that it had crept up towards the 30 mark. That meant that something inside the ship was radiating heat. That something was in the supply closet, and it was alive. All right, come out, whoever or whatever you are. If you don't come out in 5 seconds, I'm going to blast you. One, two. Well, I'll be...
Hello, I'm Mary Lee Crowe.
Well, what are you doing in there?
I'm a stowaway.
Oh, my
Rebecca.
Well, what's the matter? Do I have to pay a fine or something?
Oh, what are you doing here?
I want to see my husband. He's with a government survey crew on Walden. I haven't seen him since he left Earth 4 years ago.
Okay, but whatever made you hide on my ship?
I had a job waiting for me on Mamira, but I heard you were going to Walden, and there was plenty of room, so I hid. Oh, I know I'd be breaking some kind of rule, but what's one little rule?
What's one little rule? H amount of fuel will power an EDS with a mass of M safely to its destination. H amount of fuel will not power an EDS with a mass of M plus X safely to its destination. How could she be expected to know? She was 5'2 with brown curly hair and a faint sweet smell of perfume. She was 5'2 and she smelled like apple blossoms. And her name was X in an equation that would have to be balanced.
Come in.
This is Barton, emergency distress pilot 4G3. Give me Commander Delhart. I have an emergency message.
This is Delhart. What is it?
At 0800 hours, I discovered a stowaway aboard my ship.
Stowaway?
Yes, sir.
Well, have you notified ship's records?
Not yet, sir.
You know the regulations as well as I do.
Of course I know the regulations. That's why I'm calling.
Barton, what's going on?
Sir, this is a girl, a young woman.
Oh.
She wanted to see her husband on Woden. She didn't know what she was doing.
I see.
I wondered, sir. Maybe the cruiser could change course or something.
Afraid not. We're hundreds of light years apart now. We have a limited supply of fuel ourselves. With 900 passengers.
Is there any chance?
No.
Okay, Skipper.
Better get the information to ship's records.
Okay.
Martin.
Skipper?
Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
You cut acceleration, didn't you?
Yes.
Why?
Save fuel for a while. How did you manage to stow away?
I was taking a language lesson in Mamiramese from a girl in the inspection corps, and the order came for your trip. I just went along on an impulse. It was easy. I'll be a model prisoner, I promise.
Oh, if you were only a thief or a spy, it would make it easier.
Make what easier?
Nothing. Forget it. Why couldn't she have been somebody with some ulterior motive? A fugitive hoping to lose himself in a whole new world. A crackpot with a mission. Why did she have to be a woman? A beautiful, kind, trusting woman.
Stardust.
Barton, EDS 4G3.
Go ahead, 4G3. Identify stowaway.
Give me your identification disc, Miss Cross.
Here. Why?
Well, it's for our ship's records. Identification number T8374.
One moment. This is for the gray card, of course.
Yes.
I'll need the pertinent data.
I'll tell you later.
That's highly irregular.
Well, then we'll do it in a highly irregular manner. The subject is a young woman. She's listening to everything that's said. Are you capable of understanding that?
No. Go ahead, 4G3.
Number T8374Y54. Name, Mary Lee Cross. Female. Married. Born July 7, 4160. Good Lord, you're only a child. Height, 5'2", weight 110, hair brown, eyes blue, complexion light, blood type O, original destination, port city, Mamira. Now, listen, I'll call you back later. Look, miss.
Mary Lee.
Look, Mary Lee, I guess you don't know what you got yourself into here. It's like this. This ship is carrying Kala fever serum to the survey group on Woden.
Yes.
Their supply was wrecked in a tornado. The fever is always fatal unless the serum is given in the first 48 hours. Now, little ships like this one have exactly enough fuel to reach their destination. If you stay aboard her, your added weight will cause it to use up all its fuel before it can land.
What happens then?
We crash. You die, I die, and 6 fever victims on Woden die.
Oh. Well, can't they send out another ship to meet it?
There are no ships to send.
Well, I... Oh, no. Oh, no. You couldn't do
that's
that.
That's how it has to be.
Well, that's crazy. I haven't done anything. I haven't hurt anybody.
I'm sorry.
I should have told you before, but I wanted to make sure that there was no other way.
You mean it? You're going to make me leave the ship?
Well, that's how it is.
Oh, but I'll die. I'll explode. I'll be like those horrible pictures.
I'll try to understand.
I do understand. You're going to kill me, and I didn't do anything.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, that has everything to do with it. Nobody just dies like that for no reason. Listen, maybe there are other cruisers. Cruisers you don't know about. Maybe the radio.
Now listen to me. It's different here. Different from anything you've ever known. On Woden, there are 16 men. 16 men in an entire world. They're fighting. Fighting an alien environment. The environment fights back. You can only make a mistake once.
And I made a mistake.
Yes.
There's no hope.
Absolutely none. You have to be put out of this ship. It was better so. With the loss of all hope would also go the fear. And then would come the resignation. She needed time, and there was so little.
Stardust to EDS. Need pertinent data.
All right, Stardust.
When do you expect to complete your report?
I need a computer check. I'm intersecting course vector 7.3 at 0831. Deceleration 17.50, weight 1 ton. I would like to stay at 0.10 as long as the computers allow.
Check. I'll call you back.
We wouldn't have long to wait. The new factors would be fed into the steel maw of the computer bank and the electrical impulses that go through the complex circuit. And here and there a relay would click, a tiny cog would turn over. But it would be the current, formless, mindless, invisible, which would determine with utter precision how long that pale young girl beside me would live. Five little fragments of metal in the second bank would trip against a neat ribbon, and the machine would spit out the answer.
You will resume deceleration at 1910.
It was 1810 when he spoke. 1 hour. She had 1 hour to live.
1 hour?
That's it.
All I did was hide in the closet. Now you tell me I have to die. I don't believe it.
Well, you might as well get used to it.
If this happened back on Earth, 1,000 ships would fly the sky. The whole world would know about it. They'd do everything to save me.
Well, this isn't Earth.
Oh, it's just a big dream. Jerry and I separated almost 5 years ago. We were too young. I was going to try to see him to try to make everything all right again. Are you married?
I was.
Oh?
She ran off with some guy in the weather service.
You still think about it?
I don't let myself.
Where is she?
Back on Earth. Now, look, if you don't mind, I'd just as soon talk about something else.
Okay. What do you do when you got an hour to live? What do you talk about?
What's Jerry like?
Jerry? Oh, he's a funny guy. When he found out, I mean about the other fella, he didn't get mad. He cried. That was all he felt. Sadness.
So you walked all over him?
Well, I thought I wanted him to get mad at me, to be jealous.
And now?
I've been thinking about him for 5 years. When I heard the ship was bound for Woden, well, I knew Jerry was there. I stowed away. I didn't know about the fuel. I didn't know this would happen to me.
She had violated a man-made law that said, keep out. The penalty was not of man's making or desire. Yet, it was not a penalty men could revoke. H amount of fuel will power an EDS with a mass of M safely to its destination. The time was 18:30. 40 minutes left. It was beginning to get me. The space frontier is a rough place, and I've seen 100 men die since I left Earth. But this was different. I watched her as she wrote a message to her folks. I watched her as she fought her way through the black horror of fear toward the calm and brave acceptance. And then there it was on the view screen, the planet Woden. A red ball shrouded in the blue haze of its atmosphere,
swimming in space against the background of the star-sprinkled blackness. The chronometer on the instrument panel said 1845.
Oh, listen, we're in radio range of Woden now. Would you want me to try and contact your husband?
Jerry?
Well, it would mean he would know you're going to die. There'd be nothing anyone can do.
Yes. I'd like to talk to him. Do you think we can?
Well, the planet is turning. If his group is on the side facing us, we might be able to reach him. Well,
please try.
All right. Hello? Hello, Woden. EDS to the Government Survey Group. EDS to the Government Survey Group. Can you hear me? Come in, Woden.
They may not be monitored.
Hello. Hello, EDS. We read you.
Hello. Hello. Identify yourself, please.
This is Government Survey Group 105 in Woden.
Roger, 105. This is John Barton, EDS pilot.
Roger, we read you, Barton. You have the serum.
That's affirmative on the serum. How bad is it down there?
One man died last night. Six more have the fever. How long to touchdown, over?
I started deceleration at 1910 hours. I should be able to land at 1930.
Thank God.
Look, Woden, you have a Gerald Cross in charge of the group.
Commander Cross? Yes, we do.
Could I speak to him?
He isn't here. He's out with the survey team.
When do you expect him?
Sorry, EDS. We can't say for sure.
How do you read me, Woden? How much time do we have left for communication?
You're loud and clear, sir. We lose you in about 15 minutes.
All right. If Commander Cross comes back before we lose radio contact, will you have him buzz me? It's very important.
Roger, EDS.
I'll keep the channel open here.
Ground station by.
The minutes passed like slow bits of eternity. On the view screen, I could see Manning's continent sprawled like a gigantic hourglass in the eastern sea. And there was a thin line of shadow where it was beginning to disappear as the planet turned on its axis. I looked at the pale woman next to me, and I thought of another woman long ago who'd sat next to me, who had cried because I wouldn't understand. What had she written in those letters to her folks back home? What would they think of the faceless, unknown pilot who had sent her to her death? What would I think of myself alone at night, reliving this voyage?
Cold, isn't it?
I'll turn up the thermostat.
Nothing from Jerry?
Now we have about 2 minutes of radio contact left.
Maybe it's better. I mean, suppose it were you and your wife tried to call you. How would you feel?
I don't know.
Did you ever hear from her?
I got a letter about a year ago. I tore it up.
That was foolish.
Yeah, it was.
Life is so terribly short.
Well, wait a second. We're getting something.
How much time before I have to leave the ship?
10 minutes.
Hello, EDS. Come in.
EDS?
This is Woden 105. I'm Commander Cross.
All right, go ahead.
This is Commander Cross.
Jerry Cross?
Yes.
I have someone for you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Jerry?
Hello?
Jerry?
Who is it?
It's me, Mary Lee.
Mary Lee?
I wanted to see you again. I stowed away on the EDS.
What? But Mary Lee...
It doesn't matter, Jerry. All that matters is that I can tell you all the things I've kept inside for so long. Jerry, I want you to know I never forgot you.
It's been so many years. I can't believe it.
I thought I'd see you again, but now I can't. Jerry, you don't hate me, do you?
Hate you? Oh, Mary Lee, I've never stopped loving you. Not for an instant.
Oh, Jerry.
Listen, we don't have much time. The transmission is beginning to fade. Mary Lee, I've got to see you. There's got to be some way.
There isn't.
Let me talk to the pilot.
Let me have it. Hello?
Pilot, when you called the mothership... Did you have them check the computers?
I've done everything. You've been on the frontier long enough to know the setup on an EDS.
Oh, dear God! There must be something, some way.
Do you think I'd let this happen if I wasn't sure?
He tried to help me, Jerry. He tried. It really doesn't matter. I'm not frightened anymore. Not now.
But how did you get here? I don't understand.
I was going to Mamira to take a job, I thought... Now I realize I was just going to be closer to where you were. Oh, Jerry, all this time.
Don't. Let me tell you something. Mary Lee, I've always known you'd come back to me. I've known it every minute. It's what's kept me alive. I want you to hold that. in your mind?
We haven't much time. We're losing radio contact.
Jerry?
Don't cry, darling. Just know how I feel.
I do.
It's fading.
There's so many things to say. Jerry, you can still hear me. Maybe I'll come to see you again. Maybe I'll come to you in your dreams. I'll be the touch of a breeze. Or one of those golden-winged little birds singing my silly head off. Or maybe I'll be nothing you can see or hear. But you'll know I'm there. Think of me like that, Jerry. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my darling. I'll always love you.
She sat motionless in the silence that followed. And then she looked at me.
Now?
Now. I pulled down the black lever, and the inner door of the lock slid open. She walked with her head up, the brown curls brushing her shoulders. I let her do it alone. She stepped into the lock and turned to face me. I could see the pulse in her throat.
I'm ready.
I pulled the red lever, and there was a slight waver as the air gushed out. I thought I sensed a bump, as if something had bumped the outer door. And then there was nothing. And the white hand of the closet temperature control was back at zero. A cold equation had been balanced. And I was alone in the ship.
WMUK's Special Projects has presented Cold Equations, a story by Tom Godwin, adapted for radio by George Levins. Featured in our cast were Mark Spink as Barton and Peg Small as the stowaway, with Richard Niesink as Commander Delhart, John Scott as Jerry, and Richard Atwell as the Woden Monitor. Future Tense is produced and directed by L.A. Siegel. Next, on Future Tense.
Here. Wait till I adjust the sets here. Now, there. You see this picture?
Looks like a Scotch plaid.
Well, we finally assigned the colors so that they seem to give a rational picture. Now, wait a minute. I'll clear it up here. There. Oh, no. There it is.
What is that?
That's the signal from the stars.
If you are enjoying these Future Tense programs and would like to hear more drama on WMUK, please let us know. Address your comments as well as suggestions for future programs to Future Tense, WMUK, Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo, Michigan. The zip code is 49001. This is Gerard McLeod inviting you and your entire family to join us every Monday through Thursday at this same time for Future Tense. Be sure to listen.
WMUK, Kalamazoo. Located on the...